Steve Schroth, another Franklin Matters radio show number 674 in the series. This session of the radio show shows the Board of Health meeting held Wednesday, December 8, 2021. The meeting was held in the third floor training room. One Board of Health member was remote, and at least one public attendee participated remotely via the Zoom conference bridge. Links to the meeting agenda in my notes are included in the show notes. The recording runs about 30 minutes, so let's listen to the Board of Health meeting of December 8, 2021.
It's 5 o'clock, so I'll start the remote transcript. As a preliminary matter, this is Bridget Sweet. Permit me to confirm that all members and persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Members, when I call your name, please respond to the affirmative. State each member, oops, sorry. Vice Chair Jeff Harris.
Here.
Member Here. Tim Cochran.
Here.
Director of Public Health Kathleen Liberty.
Here.
Health Agent Ginny.
Here.
Public Health Nurse Alicia.
Here.
Matt Tanis.
Here.
Hard. All right, introduction to remote meeting. Oh, did I forget someone?
Melissa?
Hi, Melissa. Melissa, are you present?
Yeah.
Perfect. Lovely. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Good evening. This open meeting of the Franklin Board of Health is being held hybrid, consistent with the Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020, due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth from the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. In order to mitigate the transmission of the COVID-19 virus, we've been advised and directed by the Commonwealth to suspend public gatherings. And as such, the governor order may suspend the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a public accessible physical location. Further, all members of the public body are allowed and encouraged to participate remotely. The order, which you may find posted with the agenda materials for this meeting, may allow public bodies to meet entirely remotely. So as long as reasonable public access is afforded to the public, may follow along with the deliberations of this meeting. Ensuring public access does not ensure public participation unless such participation is required. This meeting may feature public comment. For this meeting, we are convening by video conferencing via the Zoom application as posted on the town's website, identifying how the public may join. Please note this meeting is being recorded and that some attendees are participating by video conference. Accordingly, please be aware that other folks may be able to see you and take care not to screen share your computer. Anything that you broadcast may be captured by the recording. All supporting materials have been provided to the members of this body are also available on the town's website. We shall now turn to the first item on the agenda. Kathleen, I believe, actually, hold on, I have it right here. I believe the first item on the agenda are the approval of the minutes from the last meeting. We received the minutes electronically. Is there any discussion related to the minutes from the last meeting?
No discussion.
No.
Is there a motion to accept the minutes as submitted?
Make a motion to accept the minutes as given.
Is there a second?
Second the motion.
Thank you, sir. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, we can't do an all in favor vote. We do have to vote in its entirety because I'm remote. So, Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And I vote yes, so that all in favor. Marvelous. Excellent. Next item on the agenda, which I can't open on my computer because I have 911 things open. Can someone tell me what's next on the agenda? I'm sorry.
Yeah, just an update on 27 Winter Street.
Marvelous.
All right, Matt, you want to? Matt's going to speak to that, Bridget.
So I know in the last meeting it was mentioned that they were going to raise the building on the house on that property. As of Monday, when I checked with the building department, there had been no demo permits pulled yet. This week, it looks like there's been some type of activity on the property. Some things were cleaned up, some wires were moved, and it looks like some lumber had been placed to secure some areas that might be considered to be an immediate hazard should we get some bad weather, you know, the porch roofs, things like that might fall. So I don't know if they're preparing maybe permits for the DEP for asbestos or lead, something like that. I'm not sure if that's in the works, but I don't think we've heard anything in the office regarding the matter. But I believe it was scheduled for end of January was the projected time. So just keep tabs on it, and hopefully they'll pull a demo permit. We'll get a better timeline. Probably if we don't hear anything by early to mid-January, we'll just get an update from them to see what the delay is.
The asbestos abatement will take a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
So should we... The asbestos abatement alone is going to take a few weeks. So even if they do pull a demo permit, do you think we should have them at our December meeting just to get an update? I just don't want to let this go too far. January, sorry. We're in December. Oh, my God. January.
Even maybe if they at least want to submit some type of written timeline now that, you know, maybe they're a little more aware as to what may be involved going forward. If they don't want to be present, maybe at least submit some type of written timeline to the office for our January meeting.
Are you going over there weekly to look at it? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, that's your second or third inspection.
Probably third. Just in the last 48 hours, I noticed some action on the property. So.
So what do you want? So you think I should do a letter asking for a timeline, written timeline?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay.
Projected.
Is that good with you, Brenda? Brenda. Oh my God, Bridget. Sorry.
She looks like Brenda now.
No, this is what happens.
Hair down and out.
Now you look like Brenda. Hair down to Brenda.
Can you repeat that recommendation one more time? Just to reach out for a love. Can you just repeat that?
What do you want me to repeat?
Your recommendation.
Oh, my recommendation is to have a written timeline to bring to the board in January from the owner.
That's fine. I'm comfortable with that. Why don't we ask for a written timeline and then we can go from there. And then if we need to, I'm comfortable with that, especially going into the holiday season. So I think that's reasonable. Tim, Jeff, what do you guys think? Asking for a timeline for now, and if that's not sufficient based on Kathleen's receival of said timeline, we can have them come in January based on what she receives.
Just for clarification, when the owner was here last, we did state that she would need to appear at our February meeting if she did not propose any updates to the property. My sort of change to the recommendation would be to, rather than requiring her attend for our January meeting, just for the health director to send a request for an update to the projection of any changes to the property. And then we still have that February meeting deadline where if there aren't any proposals that meet the satisfaction of the board, the owner is expected to attend.
Yeah, makes sense. I like it.
And I don't think we need to vote on that. That's just a discussion point because we're just looking for more information. So I think that's good. Jeff, are you good with that?
I'm good with that, yes. Great recommendation. Yes, thumbs up.
Okay. Bridget, I'm just gonna ask Alicia, are you on a time crunch, Alicia? Should I ask Bridget to move the agenda around and have you give your report?
No, it's okay.
Go ahead, Alicia.
Oh, you want me to go?
I think you're kind of on a crunch there with the children and stuff. So if you want to do your public health report, it's okay with Bridget.
Okay, hi everyone, how are you? So I just wanted to give an update for communicable diseases. For tuberculosis, there's still only one active TB case that I am working with in Franklin. We are still conducting the weekly Zooms and home visits. For influenza, I just ran those numbers because I'm starting to see them pop in the system. I had to go and actually call an epidemiologist today to try to clarify. So it says 5 cases confirmed and 37 suspected. Those 37 suspected are positive results, just haven't been changed over in Maven. I just think it's probably because it's just a reported disease. They just haven't had time to do that yet. For COVID, we are seeing an increase since November. Total cases since the beginning of this pandemic, when it all started for Franklin, is 3,281 when I ran my report a few days ago. Total deaths since the start of this were 52. And total confirmed cases, meaning with a PCR, 2,557. And then you guys might have a little bit of an error. It's supposed to be 209 confirmed cases for November of 2021. And I've been very busy since the CTC, the tracing collaborative went away at the end of November. So I've been trying to do the contact tracing for Franklin the best I can since December. Weekly testing, I get these reports from the state. The amount of COVID-19 total tests conducted from the weeks of November 14th through November 27th were 4,625 with 132 positive test results. The COVID vaccine clinic that we did on November 10th, we had 287 kids get their first COVID vaccine for the 5 to 11 range. And the second clinic was held December 1st and 283 kids received their second vaccination. Another project that I'm going to be working on in between dealing with the contact tracing is Central Park Terrace, the Franklin Housing Authority. I'm working with someone to start doing blood pressure and blood sugar clinics there. And one of the things we were focusing on, I was going to start off doing blood pressure clinics and start some educational programs about lowering your blood pressure, focusing on healthy eating, like lower salt diet, like lowering your salt intake, I thought would be a good start with meeting people and seeing what the needs are in that community.
Also, we had 3 vials of COVID vaccine for youths left over. So we're going to have just a mini clinic for Franklin youth just to get rid of those. So that'll probably be, I think, the first week in, last week in December we're looking at, right?
Yeah, it'll be nice because they'll be on Christmas break, so we can go and give out the rest of those 30 doses that are left in the vials.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why Alicia is going to be working with the Housing Authority residents is because the DPH work plan in with the shared service grant is for her to identify residents with health disparities and to work with them. And we figured that that would be the best start for this target population. So if you're wondering why, that's in the work plan and that's something that we have to follow. But that being said, even though it's required and in the work plan, we had a COVID clinic there back in the very beginning, and I did see, that I think a lot of these residents do need a blood pressure clinic. I think they need someone knowledgeable to talk to. They have a nutritionist. They have a resident coordinator that you're working with. So I really feel like even though this is in the work plan, I think that would be a great avenue to go anyhow with a public health nurse. So I just wanted to add that, Alicia.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm excited to go and meet new people and see what they need, even if it's me making home visits, helping, with them. You'd be surprised how many people don't know their medications and simple things like that that I would be able to help with.
I also had a thought. Do you think we should find out if there's a lot of children that maybe we could have the mini clinic there if there are children who need the youth vaccine? So we could talk about that a little bit more. but I thought, why not, right?
Yeah, when I've been doing my contact tracing, of course, I'm trying to focus on schools and school-age children to try to help out with that, especially because I'm working very closely with the school nurses. They're sending me, you know, spreadsheets with close contacts, and I'm trying to keep up with what's going on in the school systems. And I have mentioned it to a few parents that we are going to be, you know, we have 30 doses left, and to keep an eye out for when we have a date for it.
Good. I agree. Thank you. And if you're in need, you can just leave.
No one's screaming yet, but thank you.
Well, hold on. Does any of the board members have any questions for Alicia, by any chance?
No, I don't. Thank you,
Alicia.
Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of your night.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Kathleen, do you want to stick with the agenda as is, or do you want to go to, let me just open it. Do you want to go to septic tanks?
Yeah, let's just follow the agenda. Matt's going to speak to this as well. I want you to hear this though, loud and clear. Are you hearing Matt loud and clear?
I can hear everything.
Okay, good. I can't hear you that well, but all right. So Matt's going to take the first agenda item.
So I guess there's been an ongoing issue with engineers putting on the septic plans for repairs and upgrades. If the tank is to be reused, they want it to be structurally inspected and certified, if you will, by a Title V inspector, which is odd because Title V inspectors aren't structural engineers. Additionally, it seems, I don't know if it's just one engineer, if it's been an issue across the board, but they're also putting this burden back on the homeowners. So this isn't really so much an issue for a newer tank, 1500 gallon tank, say, within the current Title V regulations, if it had been replaced since then, but for older 1000 gallon tanks, 750 gallon tanks, if there are any of those still around. So to just try to put an end to engineers putting this really is an unnecessary burden when they should be evaluating the tank themselves if they're proposing to leave it. Basically just making some type of short regulation that, as I was proposed here, that any septic tank that doesn't meet the current Title V minimum past 1500 gallons for a repair upgrade should just be automatically replaced. Or if the tank was installed prior to March 31st, 1995, which is when Title V went into effect, should just be replaced. If a tank meets the above requirements and the engineer wants to reuse it, whoever's designing that septic plan should be the one to certify and inspect it for reuse. So it actually spells out either the PE or the RS, whoever's doing the design.
Matt? Can we not, are we able to vote on this tonight though, or do we have to put this out to a hearing because it's a DEP?
No, so as part of the Title V, it would have to go, it would have to be.
So this is just for discussion tonight, and then we would post it for a hearing and then have it on the next board meeting?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. if the board would like that, I don't know if you have any questions on this.
But it makes sense to me. It looks like Domi language, so I'm all in. Jeff and Tim, whatever discussion you guys want to have, but as far as I'm concerned, this is makes sense to me. I think that this is completely redundant. So the language here makes sense to me. I would love to see this revised for language for a future hearing so that that burden is not on the homeowner.
Just to be clear, this is the proposed language?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe Title V and tobacco are going to have to be advertised in the newspaper for you.
We advertise everything. Okay. So, yeah.
I believe it's at least 10 days prior.
Two weeks.
Two weeks.
Yeah. So you're both Okay, all three of you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. So
it just clarifies it and actually puts it on paper that what's been going on is not acceptable.
Yeah, because I mean, at first I'm like, yeah, I told Wade, I'm like, yeah, no, you're not approving any plans that have this on it. But then I decided that, you know what, if I did get pushback, I wanted justification, I wanted the board to support, and just make it formal, so that, you know, it's not just an administrative decision. So, and Matt drafted this narrative, and he's been very helpful in getting through this process of bringing it here. So thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate your help. All right. Do you want me to move on?
Yeah, monthly meeting dates as posted. You guys have any discussion on the meeting dates as prescribed?
These don't have to be addressed right now, but two recommendations. The June 1st meeting is the week of Memorial Day. Recommend pushing that back 1 week to June 8th. And July 6th, being the week of July 4th, pushing that back 1 week to July 13th.
Do you have to vote on these meeting dates?
Sure, Ben.
It was kind of flexible, right?
We can always change it, like,
because
we're supposed to post them for the year, but you know, like, the meeting before, we can change it if someone
says. Yeah, we can always propose changes.
But I think this has been to post these new dates if everyone thinks.
We do have to vote. We do have to post the proposed meeting.
But again,
as Jenny was saying, we could always change them.
But I don't have to vote on that change. That's fine.
No, we don't have to vote on those changes now.
No, just discussion.
We'll vote these dates now because I think that makes sense. If that's what you think.
Yeah, that's fine.
And if there's a change, you can do it within a month.
Well, if you kind of know that you want to do it already, fine.
Oh, a week ahead.
I'm not in charge. I shouldn't be
ready. A week ahead.
No.
It makes sense.
I don't have a preference.
Okay.
Does the chair have a preference whether we adopt the schedule as is or make the changes?
I don't have a preference. It's fine.
Okay.
Let's keep it.
I'll be sending one more kid off to college that summer, so if I'm not weaving baskets at Mass Mental, we'll be fine.
Okay, so next agenda item, you want me to keep going?
Keep going.
Yes.
All right. So monthly health observances on the website. So Melissa and I just kind of came up with a little project to address, you know how they have like World AIDS Day for December 1st and then what was it, dementia awareness or something like that. So we thought every month we would on the website post a health observance, national health observance, and you know, link have a link, you know, going to like the CDC or whatever public health issue it is, and just a little change to the website, but just wanted to let you know that we're always doing some new things to educate the public, along with the podcast. All three podcasts are on there as well. Thank you, Melissa. And Steve, you're on here too. Thank you, Steve. I just wanted to let you know that. I just think it's always fun to just let you know what's going on. Next is the shared service grant report from Matt.
Sure. A little busy with some different things. Housing, I had one housing code inspection and have had four re-inspections. One in particular that's going to be ongoing. It's a work in progress. The owner is making repairs. It's just been taking a while. Be out there again next week for another re-inspection. Nuisance inspections, just had two and two follow-ups. Had 12 biannual inspections and just one complaint inspection. That complaint inspection, I actually did a follow-up today as part of their routine they were due as well. And they're well within compliance at this point. It's regarding an insect issue. They're continuing to keep their pest management on a weekly basis just to ensure that they remain in compliance going forward for the foreseeable future. And just attended both the youth vaccine clinics. I did very well, so.
Yeah, Matt was a vaccinator. Thank you, Matt. Ginny, so on the first one, we had Melissa registering. Matt was vaccinating. The second one, Ginny was registering. Matt was vaccinating. Thank you, all three of you. So much help. You just can't even
imagine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Kathleen, can I just say something about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bridget was there, too. She came in the first one.
I came
to the second one. Yeah, thank you, Bridget. Yeah.
That's not why I wanted to say something. not at all. I do think it's worth, noting, and it should be very publicly noted that the office staff, as well as Matt, I mean, you count as office staff, Matt? You do now, right? Your team, Franklin, right? Even though you're regional. Yeah. Went above and beyond. The volunteers went above and beyond. The town of Wrentham went above and beyond. Ben Franklin went above and beyond. I thought as a parent, but also as a board member, that the clinics went off very, very swimmingly. The parents who brought their children were super supportive. The children were great. I was so proud to be part of something just as a volunteer, but that was because of the work that this office put into the program. And I was just so happy to see that it was well received. And I just think that thank you doesn't do enough justice for the work that you all, Melissa, Ginny, Kathleen, Matt, Alicia, you guys did a great job. And I don't think, honestly, I think thank you sounds hollow. But I really, truly mean thank you from the, you know, I think all three of us mean it. But it was such a great community service. It was such a well-attended and well-supported event. So I just want to make sure that you guys understand how much we do appreciate it. And I know that the families appreciated it. And just thank you. So I just want to make sure that that, you know, it goes on record that it was very much truly appreciated from, you know, from the community at large.
Oh, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
It was wild. 287 kids, families and siblings, and Ben Franklin. So just an update on the Metacomet Regional Epidemiologist update. I did let you all know we were getting extra funding for that last, okay, good. Three candidates, one's a forest ranger, one's an epidemiologist, and one is a graduate, a recent graduate with all of the appropriate epidemiology classes and courses, I mean. And so we'll be doing some interviews and hopefully getting them on board soon, because with the surge, Alicia is drowning in contact tracing. Also, we have an MRC volunteer who was a vaccinator at our clinic. She's volunteered to be a be involved in contact tracing. So she's just about done training and she will start helping out. I can't thank her enough. So that's just an update. So I'll probably have a hire for January, I hope. So wanted to tell you all about that. That's it, yeah.
Is there any discussion from the board before I open it to anyone who else might be in the room, staff or Steve Sherlock?
Nope.
Ginny, Melissa, or Matt, anything else to add before I go to Steve?
Nope.
Steve, anything to add?
Nope.
All right, cool. Do you want to see what I'm doing right now real quick before I go?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Oh, my knee is all busted. Hold on. Oh, I'm having another surgery next week, too. But hold on. Look at this. Look at Restaurant Deja Vu.
What are you doing?
I'm at work still.
Oh.
I have to inspect a restaurant in a minute.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's a student contest.
Where are you?
At work.
Hold on. Look it.
Are you at work, you said?
Yeah, look it. They're eating. The students are eating. They're senior class. They're serving and eating.
And then why do you have to do an inspection after they eat?
I already inspected, now I have to do a post-inspection, make sure they clean up properly.
Oh my God.
It's okay.
Real-time health department work, look at that.
You have to do an inspection.
See?
Cool. I love it.
All right, I'll see you guys later. Oh, is there a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn. I second the motion.
Oh wait, we can't do all in favor. Jeff? Tim?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. They're all waving to me in the back of the kitchen. All right, bye guys, thank you.
Bye, Bridget, thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.